The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
D-Mace, Finn, Ginnadonic, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us in the next segment. Before we get to Hutton, we'll continue our conversation on the Nashville Predators, specifically Barry Trotz and the job that he has done so far as Predators general manager. We have some of your texts to get to on our text line driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. One texter says, Barry gets a D this year. Misread Bruno's game plan and didn't provide the right players. One texter said, would have thought Trotz knew you need a balance of toughness and high-end players. This is a poorly constructed offense. On defense, they have soft D-men who can skate but aren't physically prepared for combat in front of Saros. Another texter says, my word is confusing. He talks about getting younger and playing faster, but we're the oldest team in the league. We haven't really developed any young players, and so he seems to be trying to do the fine line of this competitive balance that we've seen for the last 6 years. So let's stick with this idea. Because we've seen this season, and if you want to include the offseason as well, an exodus of younger players. It started with the Predators trading Yaroslav Askarov. Now, that was a situation where the Predators' hands were tied because Askarov, through his agent, through I believe it was Kevin Weeks of NHL Network, said that Yaroslav Askarov wanted a trade. They traded Philip Tomasino. They waived Dante Fabro. They've had certain amounts of success with their new clubs. And it's easy. We've talked about this many times before, Willie. When a player that was on your team goes somewhere else and plays well, people look at it as an indictment of your team. And sometimes that is the case, but not always. So the one challenge that Barry Trotz is going to have is, as we've talked about this week on the show, threading that needle of remaining competitive, because the Predators and Barry Trotz specifically have been adamant that they are not interested in doing a full-on rebuild. They do not want to ship off every player of value and put out a product where the team is going to lose more often than not, just for the hope that they get a top draft pick that changes it all. We've talked about it with the Titans this year with the number one pick. I can't recall who it was on Jared's show yesterday. I actually might have been Chris Mad Dog Russo, who, by the way, we've been watching First Take. The look on Chris Russo's face as he's just waiting to talk looks like he's sucking on a lemon. I don't know what's going on with Chris Russo today, but the faces he's making are very distracting. But Chris Russo said yesterday that this is not a good draft to have the number one pick. Now, you could say, what does Chris Russo know about this? But I think that is a general sentiment. But the Predators are not interested in doing a full teardown rebuild. So how does Barry Trotz navigate this situation where he wants to remain competitive, but you know, you have to make sure that you have the right mix of young and old to make it work?
I think that's the question. I think what you have to hope for is that because they have put a lot of time and investment going back even before Barry Trotz became the GM, that you have to hope that you've done a good job drafting and developing the next wave of young players. That is going to make his job a lot easier if they can hit on the number 8 rated prospect pool. And just because you're rated 8th doesn't mean that you're going to have 3 superstars emerge. In fact, it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. I don't know if they have stars there. They could really use one or two of these guys to pop beyond what they're tracking for right now. Do they have a lot of good, useful young players in the system? Yeah, they have a very deep pool. But how do you utilize those guys to get what you want? And that's a winning team. I do think it's going to be threading the needle. But that would be the case, I think, for most teams in the NHL right now. I don't know that you can look around the league and say, this team's set and they're set for the next 5 or 10 years. It's never that simple. It's always changing. The game's changing. Players get hurt. Guys don't pan out. I think your fortunes can go from not looking real good to looking really good pretty quick. I would look at Winnipeg the last couple years. There's been a lot of talk of, hey, Winnipeg might need to blow this thing up. They have unhappy players. But it wasn't long ago that Connor Hellebuck wanted out. They were trying to trade him. Mark Scheifele wanted out. They kind of doubled down on those guys, and they've gotten good results. So I do think it can go back and forth a lot during the year. It's a very complicated question for sure. The answer to me lies in, can they get mileage out of this next crop of players that have been playing in Milwaukee the last 2 or 3 years? Can they be difference makers, especially to fortify what you hope you're going to still get from Forsberg, Yossi, Stamkos, Marchessault, so the guys that we know are going to be here for the next 2 or 3 years?
And Derek, I contend that let's say Barry Trotz didn't sign the free agents he signed this offseason. Let's say he signed different free agents. But a report emerged that the Predators were deep in talks with Steven Stamkos, and Steven Stamkos was interested in signing with the Predators. And ultimately, the Predators decided to go in a different direction. I have to imagine a lot of Predators fans would say, can you believe Barry Trotz didn't want Steven Stamkos? Now, again, there were warning signs that Steven Stamkos was becoming a diminishing player, specifically when he's not on the power play. Mm-hmm. But I imagine that a lot of fans, had the Predators not signed Stamkos, I'm just picking on Stamkos here, if they had not signed Stamkos and it emerged that the Predators decided that Stamkos wanted them and they decided they didn't want him, I imagine a lot of Predators fans would be calling and texting and saying, can you believe that? But here's the – Brian has a text on our text line that I think is interesting. He says, I believe – if it were anyone but Trotz, fans would be furious and wanting a change. I get both sides, and it's hard to say many negative things about Trotz, but it's starting to look worse and worse game after game. That is an interesting thing in all of this because of how beloved Barry Trotz is in this town. I do think that's an interesting element.
Well, it goes again to what we were talking about with the Kansas City Chiefs. Sometimes, whether you are knowingly unknowingly, and a lot of times I think it's unknowingly, you're going to give certain people the benefit of the doubt. Why? Barry has always approached it with transparency. He didn't try to say, listen, this is what we are going to do, or we're not doing this, but then end up, no. He kept the fan base, because when he's talking to Jared, he's not talking to Jared. He's talking to the fan base. And actually, Jared is asking questions, you know, from what he's been hearing or what people text him. But Barry has been, he's been transparent. That buys you equity. It gets you equity when times are rough. Why? Because Barry not once said, we are a Stanley Cup winning team. We will be in a Stanley Cup.
He made a point this offseason.
Exactly.
When everybody was super excited, what were the words he used? fantasy hockey.
Exactly.
It's fantasy hockey until it works on the ice. And fortunately for him and the team, it hasn't worked. But so he has tempered expectations from the start.
Exactly. And I think people remember that. And he diffuses any and every sort of, not all of it, but majority of it, negative sort of talk that will come his way. Why? Because he told you on the front end. Now, you may not like where the team is at, but it's not like he tried to sell you up and then his team sort of, you know, did what they did this season. He's not like what the Titans did. They tried to upsell everything and then you look and it's like, man, we're not a good team. He bought that equity that he needed. But also he understands that, hey, listen, I need to get better. This team needs to get better. So it's not like the fan base isn't disappointed. But I think some of them probably anticipated something like this happening. But they believe that Barry can get them out of it because of his transparency.
I go back to something you said earlier, Adam. We have some angry texters here. I really don't think you could have reasonably had there weren't that many people saying, wow, this is going to flop. This is just not going to go well. Reasonably, you like you said, we discussed a lot of potential issues. Is Tommy Novak really a number two center? What about all the right-handed shots? What about the fact that Stamkos and Marchessault are going to brand new teams? All of these were fair questions for sure, and we discussed them. But to think it was going to go like this, that is some serious hindsight as 2020. I don't think anybody could have predicted it would have gone this wrong. And I have not seen a Predator team this snake bit in my entire career watching this team, which is from the very, very beginning. This has been unlike any other season. So there's a little bit of Murphy's Law. If anything can go wrong, it will. That has been on top of some of the things that have turned out to be flawed. That there's always risk. You never know for sure what is going to happen. But the confluence of all of these things going wrong in 1 year, is that all because it was a bad decision by the GM? I don't think that's the case.
Who was Murphy? And why did he make the law?
I don't know why. Why is it Murphy's Law? I don't know. But we've heard of Murphy's Law, right? There's a whole book of Murphy's Law.
Exactly.
Right?
Absolutely.
And then there's Cole's Law.
Yeah.
Which thinly sliced cabbage.
Cole's Law.
Cole's Law.
That was a good dad joke, and you didn't even know it.
What one texter said.
No, that was a good one. I like that.
It took me a minute to get the coleslaw joke. I'm not going to lie. One texter says, if I was this wrong at work, I'd be fired. And I hear that. But I agree with Willie. There were some potential issues with the players that they signed this offseason. Jonathan Marchessault, who's in his early to mid-30s, had a 40-goal season last season. Had never been a 40-goal scorer until last season. What was the likelihood that he was going to be a 40-goal scorer again? Steven Stamkos, and I mentioned this a lot during the offseason and at the beginning of the season, he was becoming a diminishing player at 5-on-5. We knew that on the power play he would still be a prime-time scorer with his one-timer from the left circle. But he was struggling to help the Tampa Bay Lightning generate offense at 5-on-5 when he was playing with the likes of Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov, who are elite players in the NHL. What was going to happen when he was all of a sudden playing with Tommy Novak? We discussed this. Was Brady Shea a product of the Carolina Hurricanes? They have a specific defensive system that they run, and Shea looked good in that system. What was going to happen when Brady Shea left that system? These are all things we discussed. But I'll repeat what I've said many times. We had all of our worst-case scenarios planned out. What's happened this season far exceeds what our worst-case scenarios yes. were. And so I can't pin that. This is not to say that Barry Trotz is without fault, but I have a hard time pinning the fact that everything that could go wrong has gone wrong on Barry Trotz.
Right. I don't think Barry Trotz brought in Marchessault and Stamkos thinking, I have to have 40 goals from each of these guys for it to work. I think if you look at Marchessault, he had a brutal start to the season and then a huge hot streak. But by the end of the year, he's probably going to have about an average Jonathan Marchessault season. Pretty close to it, maybe a little bit below. Right? I mean, his 82-game average is 29 goals and 33 assists. That's Jonathan Marchessault over the course of his career. So to think, hey, he's got to get 40, that's an unreasonable expectation. I don't think they had that expectation.
But the fans did, because all they saw was 40 goals, you know?
Right. But I think what I was thinking anyway was, if you're giving a team who scored a lot of goals last year, mm-hmm. right? They were in the top 10 scoring goals last year. I think they were 10th in the league. And now you add two guys who are scorers. Forget about whether they end up with 25, 30, 35. In a given year, you're going to fluctuate some. But if you have good production from those two guys, that's going to take you to another level. That was the idea, and I thought it was a perfectly reasonable idea. Was trading Ryan McDonagh, an older defenseman, to getting a second-round pick in return and then taking his money and putting it at Brady Shea, who was 6 years younger, that was a perfectly reasonable idea at the time, but there has been a huge difference in what you got from McDonagh last year and Shea this year. The question is, what are you going to get next year from these guys? That's where their mind is now.
615-737-1025. If you have stray thoughts on Barry Trotz and the Predators, we'll get to them over the course of the show at 615-737-1025. But coming up next, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us. This week's Nashville's best deal is Prince's Hot Chicken, the original and iconic hot chicken joint. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. The gift card is only good for the Tanger Outlets location in Antioch and inside the Assembly Food Hall in downtown Nashville. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025-1063, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, joined by Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. I understand that Hutton is at Radio Row, the site of the big game, because we're not, for some reason, allowed to say what the actual game is. I don't get it. But Hutton, I hope that you're full of football and shrimp etouffee and po' boys and beignets and all of the delicious things that New Orleans has to offer.
So far, so good, guys. Yeah, here at Radio Row, which is more like Streaming Row now, because everyone is streaming in some way, shape, or form. Yeah, it's been a good first day for me. I know Stillman's been doing great work earlier this week, and then we'll continue. I saw him with some cool people over at the table. So hope you guys are doing well in Nashville.
We're doing the best we can. So let's talk about the other team in the Super Bowl. Am I allowed to say Super Bowl? Let's talk about the other team in the big game, the Philadelphia Eagles, because there is so much attention, of course, on the Kansas City Chiefs. We were talking about Jalen Hurts yesterday. Now, Jalen Hurts is one of, I believe it was, 8 quarterbacks mm-hmm. in NFL history to have 2 Super Bowl starts within his first 5 seasons in the league. I think we could all agree, we don't talk about Jalen Hurts in the quote-unquote elite category. We're not going to put him in the category with Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. But I feel like he's not that far behind. What do you think a win for the Eagles in this Super Bowl, not just the fact that they are going to win the Super Bowl, but the fact that they could knock off the budding dynasty of the Chiefs, what would that do for Jalen Hurts and his perception around the NFL?
I mean, think about the significance of Jalen Hurts 1, Joe Burrow 0. You know, like if you're just talking about Super Bowl wins, like that. Same thing for with Josh Allen. So you know, his contemporaries take I won't say a back seat, because they're going to continue to be in the MVP conversation. But you know, it's let's throw Nick Sirianni in the mix too, if we're going to discuss Hurts too. I mean, this is his second. It's it doesn't get enough attention, and you know that he's done a nice job. I think he does a better job leading than what he gets credit for. I think the whole AJ Brown thing with him is maybe the perception there is a bit skewed because of his friendship with AJ, and then how things have been weird. But they've been able to keep it together. And that's after last year's collapse at the end. So, yeah, I think he's going to – look, I'm interested to see if he is if the Chiefs end up stopping in any part of the game, stopping Saquon Barkley, which is probably not going to happen. He's going to get his. But if the Chiefs find a solution to the tush push just one or two times, how does that affect Jalen Hurts needing to step up and make a play on third down, and needing to set a play in a crucial moment? That's where he will really be defined in this game, and if they have a chance to really take down Mahomes in what Mahomes and Kansas City does so well, which is close out games. Can Hurts do that? If he does, he's moving on to a chance to do what not many few quarterbacks do, Adam, and that's win multiple Super Bowls. And it's not a team and a quarterback coach combo that we think of in that regard.
Did you hear DeAndre Hopkins' quote from Super Bowl opening night about the end of his Titans tenure? Okay. We talked about this at length yesterday. I heard Jared talk about it. Jared, doing what Jared typically does, said it was a culture problem with the Titans, that DeAndre Hopkins pouted and took himself out of the game and the Titans acquiesced to his every desire by trading him to the Chiefs. When you heard those comments, what was your first gut reaction about what they meant, not just for Hopkins, but for the Titans as well?
Well, I thought this happened in the Buffalo game at the beginning of the fourth quarter. And that, okay, here's where I thought about Keith Bullock is what I thought about. Keith Bullock refused to come out of the game in a 59-0 beatdown in New England. And if nothing else, he started the game, he's going to finish it. That was his mentality. D-Hop is one of the more consistent players, and for whatever reason, they weren't thrown in the football. I don't get that part. But he knew he was being traded. And the headlines to follow up in the locker room and throughout the next week or so before the trade deadline was, so I guess he's on the trading block now because you got to keep him healthy. I mean, everyone's discussion of that was correct. But they played the behind-the-scenes game of, oh, no, nothing's wrong. I mean, even Callahan was kind of confused by it with the way he reacted in real time in postgame. I mean, that. So in terms of culture and communication and all that, I think that moment is in some small portion of the season, a good example of kind of how just crazy and like everything just kind of thrown in the mix it was, and not knowing how to handle that in the moment. And look, is it the end of the world? No, they did him a favor by trading him to Kansas City for the type of return. Especially when you look at what we saw from other trades of wide receivers that were basically the same. And we're talking about DeAndre Hopkins here, who I bet makes a play on Sunday and helps the Chiefs three-peat.
excuse me. Hutt,
hey, by the way, Mace, I don't think I'm not saying that Hopkins is a diva for doing this. Mm-hmm. Stay healthy, go play for a contender. I get it. But, man, I mean, how much did we discuss? There's not many like true leaders on that team.
No.
And that was a moment where you can at least just finish the game.
Yeah. And I think that's the issue that I have with the situation. Listen, I've said this before. You don't know how you're reacting in situation until you're put in that situation. D-Hop had never been in a situation that he was in this year with the Tennessee Titans. He was always the guy that was replacing the guy, Andre Johnson, and then Larry Fitzgerald. So he was always that guy. He was never in a position where they brought somebody else in to replace him, and he was there real time with them. And he didn't know how to sort of handle it, especially with them losing as well. Him sitting on the sideline, that I didn't agree with. But I understood sort of, what he was going through because I went through it myself. You know, them drafting a young guy and knowing eventually that they want him to be the guy or bringing in a free agent, knowing eventually they want that guy to be the number one guy. You got to figure out how to handle it. And especially when your team's winning. In his case, his team wasn't winning. So that sort of magnified what he was doing, because I knew behind, once they showed the picture of him behind Brian Callahan, I said one of two things are happening right now. Either he's taking himself out of the game, or the Titans have removed him from the game because they're going to trade him. And I guess I was right on both, you know, because he did take himself out of the game and the Titans did trade him.
Do you know the score going into the fourth quarter of that game?
I can't even remember.
17-10.
It was a close game.
Yeah. Now, I mean, he wasn't getting the football. And it was, they scored 17 points, the Bills did, in the fourth quarter. Point being, like, I wouldn't have done what he did.
Let's just say that. I wouldn't have did that. I understand how he felt. I get that.
Yeah.
But if
you know what else is different, Mace? He's also not used to not getting the football.
Exactly. But he sat there and said he's not a volume like a football guy, when in fact his career is based on volume catches.
Yeah. And let me also throw this in. This was during the stretch where they chose to go with Mason Rudolph, during this difficult stretch of Buffalo and Detroit. And who knows what was going through his mind in that regard, because, you know, his guy was Levis going back to the season prior. He got a lot of looks through Will Levis, and that certainly wasn't the case during that stretch at all.
Now, what has been the talk there of the Tennessee Titans, if there is any? And I'm not talking about aside from the DeAndre Hopkins, what he said, but as far as, you know, them hiring a new GM, what they think about it, you know, the number one pick and everything else.
Well, number one, speaking of number one, I've yet to find someone in person that would say, I'll draft Shadour or I'll draft Cam Ward. And just chatting. Everyone is, you know, trading down in this draft. Even, you know, Thomas Dimitroff, who has been known for being aggressive whenever he's the general manager of the Falcons, even he said he would trade down in this draft. So if everyone's looking to trade down, maybe you go with just the best player on your board here with the Titans. Again, I would love to trade down if I'm Tennessee. I don't know if the return is going to be as great as what we may think because of the number one pick. Nonetheless, the other talk, Mace, I chatted with Jeffrey Simmons today. He is still irritated and, like, pissed off, I guess is the best way, about any questions in regards to last season. just immediately, no, I'm last season's over. I'm done with it. You know, that very quick. Mm-hmm. We know he was tight with Rand. He was also tight with J-Rob, and he's been through a lot of change recently, but he's also very close with Amy Adams Strunk. And I asked him, I said, if you're not going to discuss 2024, let's discuss the future, 2025. You know, what do you see? And he discussed leadership. He discussed culture. He's hitting all the key words, but, you know, he's going to have to be the guy. I mean, if you start to look around and think about the true emotional and lead by example guys, I mean, he's the dude that can really get it going. Like one of the true good players on the team. And I think he's looking at it from the lens of, okay, let's get the best players and let's continue to build, because right now he's seen a lot of change recently and not a lot of wins. And he is not happy about it, which is a good and a bad thing, because again, he's a part of it with the penalties, which he also touched on and said it was on him.
We're talking to Jonathan Hutton. Hutt, I'm curious, in your circles, first impressions of Mike Borgonzi. I know he hasn't been there very long, but what's the early sense of his presence, how he's going to go about things?
Confident, prepared is another word I would use. So, like, He was able to – I know he's more pro-personnel side of things for the most part. He's done everything. But Veach, from what I was told, Willie, like, let him more or less over the shoulder kind of see everything in the inner workings of the day-to-day operations of what he did as GM in Kansas City over the last 12 to 15 months, which is great for him. And, you know, I think the other sense I get is everyone figured it was his time. You know, when you're 16 years of the spot and – yeah, that's, you know, you start to see how people climb the ladder, and then you see the ladder that he was able to climb with the Kansas City Chiefs and how they built their roster. The key contributors, it fits the mold of exactly what the Titans are saying. It's just not what the Titans have been doing. You know, draft, develop, retain. That's what Kansas City does so well, better than anyone. And they don't necessarily have to do it in the first, second, or third rounds. They get great value there, and they select great players there. But go look at some of the sixth and seventh round picks that have just been role players, but huge assets in key moments of critical playoff matchups. They're playing so many tight window ball games right now, and they have people that just step in and execute. They don't turn it over. They are poised, and they close out games. And that's the opposite of the Tennessee Titans. Now they've got the guy who has been there to see how that was built, to try to replicate what it is that the Titans need most. It's a similar situation to it's not exact, but I mean, John Robinson was known for the Patriot way, and he was brought in to revamp what was a franchise without much to point to, and he was able to do it with those first 3 years. So I mean, I think it's also a comparison that's worthy of mentioning there, because I think Borgonzi, or with those that know him and know what the discussion was within the Kansas City organization, feel like he's also at that point where he's ready for the opportunity, much like J-Rob was coming from Tampa.
With their cap situation, coming off of a year where they did dip in heavily to the free agent market, they've been pretty clear that they don't want to do that again. They want to draft and develop. But in the meantime, what do you have any sense of whether all of those guys are going to be back this year, or do you feel like they might, in a Mike Borgonzi, okay, let me erase. This didn't work, or this isn't a guy I would have signed. Do you think you might see a change or two based on that to either create a little bit more cap space or go in a different direction in free agency?
Yeah, I mean, in thinking about the money spent last year, Willie, I mean, there's a lot of money that's already accounted for right now that you wouldn't dump on. Like, you know,
right,
you
I guess that's where I'm going. It's like you want flexibility if you're a new GM, right? And if you're locked in,
no doubt,
to some guys, are there some moves you have to make accordingly?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm trying to think of like a Harold Landry, maybe. Is that what you're saying?
Well, he's not a guy that I thought about, but obviously Landry has a big, he's got a big chunk of the, he's got a big cap hit, right? There's no way around that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the base salary would just be in cash, but you've got the different bonus options coming up. Look, I mean, it's Ridley, it's Landry. Legarius Sneed's going to be up there. And Simmons, like those are, Amani Hooker's got to be in the top seven or eight players too. A lot of players on defense is what I'm seeing. So, you know, if they're going to spend money, maybe they go at the right tackle situation and try to, or, you know, left tackle and move someone to right. Again, I think you can spend money and address the offensive line. Do you want to move players? I do know this. They've discussed a lot about that mantra, right? Draft, develop, retain. They've also said they want draft picks. And there's not too many players that you can point to that are going to give you a return that's something that would live up to the expectation that they're discussing, right? So I think we named the players that could get some type of return on value draft time. And I think Landry and Hooker would be around the top of that just based on contract situation and what's coming forward for them. Willie, I think the money that they spent last year, it would take such a cap hit, right? Well, the cap number, I think Ridley's cap number is like 28. I mean, it's brutal. So you can't move that.
Yeah, I wouldn't think a big name like that. I was thinking like an Awuzie or a Murray or somebody that maybe they spent, and Borgonzi is like, that's not my kind of guy. I think we
like
can do
Tony
better.
Like a Tony Pollard?
Well, I would be surprised, because what's the alternative? So I guess we're looking at, they're
Murray,
sort of locked into some
of
these
of the
guys.
Other
yeah.
guys.
Murray and Awuzie would be the two that I would circle as I'm curious what they might do there. There's a long list of guys they bought. But
well, the other one would be Legarius Sneed, because, you know, he was, according to reports, he's the one who helped negotiate that trade with, you know, with Brinker.
Yeah. Now that would be something. I think Sneed will be back next year.
I agree.
Right?
You have to hope and pray that if you're them, that he's healthy. They need, he's a solution, not another injury issue. Yeah, I'm with you.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, live from Radio Row in New Orleans, where there's some sort of big game going on. Again, I'm not allowed to say it in this context. Hutton, have a great time in New Orleans. Enjoy the rest of Radio Row.
Yes, I'm already tired of all the officiating discussion here, but the NFL brought it on themselves here at the big game.
Thanks, Hutton. Talk soon.
Yeah, later, guys. Yep.
Jonathan Hutton joining us. Let's react to some of what Hutton had to say. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vinge, 102.5, 106.3, the game. D-Mace Vingen and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. We just had a bit of a laughing fit in the studio during the break. So Willie was recording what are called billboards. So if you watch Predators hockey on FanDuel Sports Network, they're coming back from commercial, and you hear Willie say, Nashville Predators hockey, brought to you by... And he had his what he called his game show voice on. And all I was thinking about the whole time was Kramer doing the movie phone on Seinfeld. that is why I started laughing so hard.
I just saw that one the other day, the movie phone.
Yes.
What movie would you like to see?
That's the voice. Right? You're doing the voice right now. Oh, man. The stream. If only the stream were live during commercial breaks. Actually, I don't want you to see what happens when we're not on the air. It's usually me stuffing my face with my lunch and God knows what else. Anyway, so we were just talking to Jonathan Hutton, and Willie, you brought up something interesting at the end about some of the accounting that Mike Borgonzi could possibly do as the new Titans GM. He gets the ledger, he sees the contracts that are signed, the money he has to pay, and maybe he wants to trim the fat a little bit. I do think this is an interesting aspect of the Titans offseason. I know we are dead set focused on the number one pick and everything that comes with it, but I'm curious to see some of the other moves that Mike Borgonzi makes with the current Titans roster.
I just think when a new GM comes in, you got a new set of eyes. And I think even we just got done with a very detailed conversation about Barry Trotz and what happens, right? You have your ideas of what you think is going to work for the coming season. And then when that season's over, you go back through it and say, okay, we just signed all these free agents. Which ones worked? Which ones didn't work? And what's the best pathway forward? Can there be a bounce back on a player? Let's just take one. Chido Awuzie, right? Got hurt right from the get-go. Lost season. Mm-hmm. Barely played. What's Mike Borgonzi's thought? What's Chad Brinker's thought? What's the coach? What's Denard Wilson's thought about what do we do about that next year? Should we cut our losses, take whatever money we can save, and go get another guy? Or do we think him, Cheeto, is going to bounce back and be a good player for us next year? Kenneth Murray, he was thought to be a really good fit for a Denard Wilson defense. Mm-hmm. He's a talented player when it comes to physical tools. He was a first-round pick. But he did not grade very well in the Pro Football Focus's sites, things like that. He graded very poorly. I don't know if Denard Wilson would disregard that and say, no, he did what we asked him to do. He's a good fit. So I'm using two examples of guys that, you know, don't break the bank, but you paid decent amounts of money in free agency to try to fill holes. And so when a new general manager comes in to evaluate, what are his thoughts on guys like that? And you can take it all the way down the right. I don't think they're going to replace Calvin Ridley, right? No. There's too much invested in him, even if you didn't like him. And he was reasonably productive. Another guy you guys mentioned wasn't a free agent, but L'Jarius Sneed is a really interesting one of what to do about him, right? Because they've got to have production from him with what they're paying him, and he's going to be coming off of a surgery. So you guys see what I'm saying there, right? Doesn't that make sense? When you do inventory of your roster, I'm wondering what Borgonzi sees when he sees, okay, let's look at the autopsy or the aftermath of all that money you guys spent last year that I had nothing to do with. He can be the fresh guy that says, guys, I don't know what you were thinking on XYZ, but I'm here to tell you we need to clear the decks and cut our losses on these guys.
Even with guys like Jerome Baker You may think that, okay, we need to move on from him and go in another direction because this team, realistically, And when you start to do things like that, even though they are like second, they're not tier one players, let's just say that. You are signaling a rebuild. Even when you are looking to get away from guys like Chidobe Awuzie or Jerome Baker or Monty Hooker or a Harold Landry. Even when you're looking to get, and those are guys that are sort of either came on late or seems to be aging out a little bit in regards to Harold Landry and Imani Hooker. Even with guys like that, you're still signaling to everyone, this is going to be a rebuild. Because typically what you're doing is, and they've said it, we're not looking to free agency to build our roster. So don't be looking for them if indeed they say go away from these certain players. And it may not be all these players. Let's just say one of them.
Yeah, just one or two. Well, yeah. Let's give an example. When Rand Carthon came in, what did he do? He circled the contract of Kevin Byard.
Yes.
And said, wow, that's a big number.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do about that? Should we do something about that?
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of, it got out, yeah. Right? It got out that he was doing that, and that created a big buzz and stir. And as it turned out, Rand Carthon was right in yeah. saying that Kevin Byard isn't worth that number anymore. So he wasn't wrong to take a look at that.
No.
You can say, hey, he let it get out. That's not good. Or it got public and Byard wasn't happy. But at the bottom line was
he saw that wasn't
good value for what they were paying.
Exactly. Hence, you know, he's not on Chicago anymore. Well, he's not on Philadelphia anymore. Is he on Chicago still?
I think he's still on the Bears.
He may be on the Bears roster. So
I learned that Kyle Phillips is on the Eagles practice squad. A lot of Eagle a lot of ex-Titans representation in the big game.
So Hutt brought up Harold Landry. He's the second most expensive player on the Titans right now behind Calvin Ridley. He's 29. I think that they will stand pat, but that is one where, okay, is there a better solution? How would you work with that? I wouldn't have brought up his name. I think because he's a steady pro. You might as well just pay the bill, get what you
at
get.
At least for this season.
For this season. Mm-hmm. But these are all creative things that I'm sure they're talking about. I'm just kind of setting the table. What are we going to see with this new group?
615-737-1025. If you have thoughts on that, you can get them in on our phone and text line. It's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Actually, text line, because coming up next, Vanderbilt men's basketball coach Mark Byington will join us. We'll discuss the Commodores and the cutthroat SEC. Coming up next, Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Say big on your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.